Father, I just thank you for all those that came out in the rain to sit in your presence and to be fed fresh manna from heaven. Father, there's something that you want to do tonight, and you have my full permission to do whatever you want to do here in this sanctuary. Move among your people. Do what needs to be done. Father God, bless them abundantly. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit power. I've had a time trying to get this together. Not because I couldn't get it together, just because I had too many interruptions. So let's hope it flows. Did you ever try to get something to flow when you're in the middle of somebody bothers you, you have to go back to it? The more you read it, the more confused it seems, right? If you're going to do the works that God has called you for to do, you're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit. Not just indwelling, but the power of the Holy Spirit. All right. So let's start at John 14, verse 12. Jesus speaking. In solemn truth, I tell you, anyone believing in me shall do the same miracles I have done, and even greater ones, because I am going to be with the Father. Anyone who believes in Christ can do the same miracles that Jesus did. And he says, and even greater ones. And this is what the body of Christ is going to be doing now, that we're going to be doing the greater works. Jesus said, you can ask him for anything, you're the Father, using my name, and I will do it. For this will bring praise to the Father because of what I, the Son, will do for you. Yes, ask anything using my name, and I will do it. If you love me, obey me. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, and he will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who leads into all truth. The world at large cannot receive him, for it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you do. For he lives with you now and someday shall be in you. No, I will not abandon you or leave you as orphans in the storm. I will come to you in just a little while. I will be gone from the world, but I will still be present with you. For I will live again and you will too. When I come back to live again, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. The one who obeys me is the one who loves me. And because he loves me, my Father will love him, and I will too, and I will reveal myself to him. You see this? You have to love God first, and then he'll love you back. Verse 22, Judas Iscariot, but his other disciple with that name, said to him, Sir, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us disciples and not to the world at large? Jesus replied, because I will only reveal myself to those who love me and obey me. The Father will love them too, and we will come to them and live with them. Anyone who doesn't obey me doesn't love me. And remember, I am not making up this answer to your question. It is the answer given by the Father who sent me. I am telling you these things now while I am still with you, but when the Father sends the Comforter instead of me, and by the Comforter I mean the Holy Spirit, he will teach you much as well as remind you of everything I myself have told you. You're going to need the Holy Spirit. There's no ifs or ands about it. You can't have any religion. You have to be totally sold out to God. Jesus wanted to say, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't fragile like the peace of the world gives, so don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you, I'm going away, but I will come back to you again. If you really love me, you will be very happy for me, for now I can go to the Father who is greater than I am. I have told you these things before they happen, so that when they do, you will believe in me. I don't have much more time to talk to you, for the evil prince of this world approaches. He has no power over me. And you know, if you have the Holy Spirit power in you, the enemy has no power over you either, just as it didn't have any power over Jesus. But I will freely do what the Father requires of me, so that the world will know that I love the Father. Come, let's be going. And he was saying this, that he had to go to the cross now. He was going to go through his suffering. And he had to do it as a requirement. So many sit in the house of God and never once feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of churches that don't believe in the Holy Spirit. They preach against the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is real. We just read where he's real. You can read all through the Word and you find that the Holy Spirit is there. I want each one of you to get a different grasp on the Holy Spirit and why you need him so desperately in this time of grace that God has given us to go forward with the signs, wonders, and miracles. Now, the first role of the Comforter, as we read, is to soothe us by helping us feel the love that God has for us, and then to lead us to the truth, teach us, remind us of what Jesus taught. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And God spoke and said, children, you will need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to fight the good fight of faith. You're not going to be able to do this on your own. God's saying right now, you need to be controlled by my Holy Spirit, not by your flesh. Then Luke 24:49 says, and now I will send the Holy Spirit upon you, just as my Father promised. What's he saying? And now I will send the Holy Spirit upon you, just as my Father promised. Don't begin telling others yet. Stay here in this city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. A lot of people stepped into ministries without the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why they fold. Jesus told his disciples, don't go around telling it yet. Stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. So you need the power. And Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In Acts 2:38, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not power, but the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 3:1-17, while they were living in Nazareth, John the Baptist began preaching out in the Judean wilderness. His constant theme was, turn from your sins, turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is coming soon. Isaiah the prophet had told about John's ministry centuries before. He had written, I hear a shout from the wilderness, prepare a road for the Lord, straighten out the path where he will walk. John's clothing was woven from camel's hair, and he wore a leather belt. His food was locust and wild honey. Then this is what Isaiah was prophesying in the Old Testament, and it came to pass in the New Testament. And verse 5 says, people from Jerusalem and from all over the Jordan Valley, and in fact from every section of Judea, went out to the wilderness to hear him preach. Now, it says, people from Jerusalem and from all over the Jordan Valley, and in fact from every section of Judea, went out to the wilderness to do what? Hear John the Baptist preach. They came from all over. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to be baptized, this is a religious bunch, right? He denounced them, and he said, you sons of snakes, he warned, who said that you could escape the coming wrath of God? Before being baptized, prove that you have turned from sin by doing worthy deeds. He wouldn't even baptize anybody that was still in deep sin. Don't try to get by as you are, thinking we are safe for we are Jews, descendants of Abraham. That proves nothing. God can change these stones here into Jews. And even now, the axe of God's judgment is poised to chop down every unproductive tree. They will be chopped and burned. With the water, I baptize those who repent of their sins. But now, this is what he says. With the water, John baptized. You know, Jesus never baptized anybody. You need to know that. With water, I baptize those who repent of their sins. But someone else is coming, far greater than I am, so great that I am not worthy to carry his shoes. He shall baptize you with what? The Holy Spirit and with fire. Who is that? Jesus. John goes on to say, he will separate the chaff from the grain, burning the chaff with never-ending fire and storing away the grain. All right, then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized there by John. John didn't want to do it. This isn't proper, John said. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you. But Jesus said, please do it, for I must do all that is right. The word commands us we have to be baptized, right? So Jesus had to be baptized also. So then John baptized Jesus. After Jesus' baptism, as soon as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down in the form of a dove. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, and I am wonderfully pleased with him. So as soon as Jesus was baptized, he received the Holy Spirit in power. Okay? Now let's jump to John chapter 3, verse 27. John replied, this is John the Baptist, replied, God in heaven appoints each man's work. And John is telling you, he says, my work is to prepare the way for that man so that everyone will go to him. You yourselves know how plainly I told you that I am not the Messiah. I am here to prepare the way for him, and that is all I'm going to do. The crowds will naturally go to the main attraction. The bride will go where the bridegroom is. A bridegroom's friends rejoice with him. I am the bridegroom's friend, and I am filled with joy at his success. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. Another version says that Jesus increases and John decreases. He has come from heaven and is greater than anyone else. I am of the earth, and my understanding is limited to the things of the earth. He tells what he has seen and heard, but how few believe what he tells them. He's talking about Jesus. Those who believe him discover that God is a fountain of truth. For this one sent by God speaks God's words, for God's Spirit is upon him without measure or limit. And Jesus didn't do any ministry until he was baptized. John the Baptist was called to be a we're finished with the scripture. And I said, John the Baptist was called to be a forerunner, preparing the way for the first coming of Jesus. The lighthouse was called to be a forerunner, preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus. All right. So we're forerunners, preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Let's go back to Jesus here. Then Jesus was led out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, not by his flesh, by the Holy Spirit, to be tempted there by Satan. For 40 days and 40 nights, he ate nothing and became very hungry. Then Satan tempted him to get food by changing stones into loaves of bread. Satan said to Jesus, it will prove you are the Son of God. Now, Jesus already knew who he was. In Matthew 4:11 says, and then Satan went away, and after he tempted him for 40 days and 40 nights, then Satan went away and angels came and cared for Jesus. Every time God calls a person into ministry, the first thing that's going to happen is Satan's going to come to tempt you. And I can guarantee you that the Holy Spirit's going to lead you into the wilderness to be tempted. And I can guarantee you're going to have to stand your ground and say, it is written, just like Jesus did. So if you don't want to be led into the wilderness to be tempted, then don't ask God to use you. In other words, if you don't want Satan to come after you, then just stay where you're at. See, until you really get born again and really get engrossed in God, you're no threat to Satan. the second you become born again and you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, then you become a threat to the enemy and he's out to destroy you. And he doesn't care how he does that. All right? Most of you sitting in here tonight said, "Here I am, Lord, use me." You opened your big mouth. And that's why you're in here tonight, is because he is ready to use you for the great outpouring of his glory that's coming. All right? And I'm hearing God say the next few days and weeks, you're going to see many mighty miracle signs. All right? Where was we at? Matthew 4:12. Matthew 4:12 says, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, you know, John had gone his way, he was still baptized, and then and Jesus went his way. And when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he left Judea and returned home to Nazareth in Galilee, but soon he moved to Capernaum beside the Lake of Galilee, close to Zebulun and Naphtali. And he did that to fulfill the scriptures. I just didn't want us to read all those scriptures, but that's why he moved. The minute that he heard that John was arrested, he knew that he had to go back and his ministry was going to begin. Now, in Matthew 4:17, from then on, Jesus began to preach. Turn from sin, and this is what he preached. Turn from sin and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, you all know the story about John the Baptist. When he was arrested, thrown into prison, he sent his disciples to ask Jesus' disciples, is this really the Messiah? Now, see how the enemy works? Put that doubt in his mind, and he knew who he was. But he sent a message. Then Jesus sent a message back to him saying, yes, I am. But he told him about the signs and the wonders. And then John was beheaded. And then Jesus' ministry was in full swing. So Jesus' ministry did not begin until he was baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. The Apostle Paul was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And you know the story about Apostle Paul. He was killing the Christians, and God got him his attention in a great way. Now in Acts 9:17, and Ananias went his way and entered the house. You know, Jesus told him to go there, that Paul would be there. And laying his hands on Paul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's an indwelling and there's a filling. And that's why I wanted to start at my end, because I should have had that at the beginning. When God knocked Saul off of his donkey and blinded him, Saul was not looking for Jesus. Saul was out killing Christians because he thought that was the right thing to do, because he was a Roman soldier. Then once God knocked him off his donkey and blinded him and then sent him to this place, then he sent Ananias so he could receive his sight and be filled with the Spirit. All right? What kind of a donkey did God knock you off of? I really believe we all have a donkey we got knocked off of, so that God could get our attention. It is clear from the book of Acts that the empowering of the Holy Spirit is distinct from the indwelling Holy Spirit, who is in every believer. The minute you're born again, baptized, you receive the Holy Spirit. Every believer has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but every believer does not have the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Are you listening? You are going to have the empowering of the Holy Spirit in order to walk in signs, wonders, and miracles. All right? When God knocked me off my donkey and got me baptized, I immediately had the empowering of the Holy Spirit from day one. And he used me with great signs, wonders, and miracles. And it was the Holy Spirit that indwelled me that drew people to me, but it was really drawing people to Christ. And this is where you have to have your flesh killed, because you'll think they want you, dumb people. And really, all it's drawing them, really, it's not you at all. You're not all that great. But the Holy Spirit inside of you is drawing people to Christ who lives in you. If you don't have that empowering of the Holy Spirit in you, you're not going to draw anybody to Christ. I'm here to tell you, you won't. Souls are not going to be saved. People are not going to be changed. You have to have the power of the Holy Spirit within you. Are you listening? I want you to understand you're not quite ready to go out there and do the things that God is calling you forth to do. Where are we at? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power to testify about me with great effect to the people in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, about my death and resurrection. John the Baptist came preaching repentance. Jesus came preaching repentance. When I first started the ministry, I came preaching repentance, and that's why the pastors told me to change my preaching. The body of Christ is supposed to be preaching repentance. The pastor said, well, you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. If you preach repentance, you'll turn them away. Well, then, you know, when you stand before God, he's going to ask you, why didn't you preach repentance? These people's blood's on your hands. I don't want none of your blood on my hands. And I'm going to tell you the truth about your walk with God. And I'm going to make sure that, excuse me, that I maintain the power of the Holy Spirit within me. Because you know the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. And if you start doing your own thing, he will walk away from you. And you won't have nothing but you standing there. All right? Come on. It is important that you remember that you need to be saturated with the power of the Holy Spirit to have boldness to preach repentance even. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit occurs one time. It is once for all. When Jesus Christ comes into your life as your Lord and Savior, his Spirit takes up permanent residence in you. In Acts 11:24 says, for he, Barnabas, was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, full of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 13:52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. These are all people that did great signs, wonders, and miracles. What was noteworthy about the Christians referred to in these last two scriptures is that they were not just indwelled by the Holy Spirit, they were filled or empowered with the Holy Spirit. Are you listening? Don't you want to be one if you just, you know, God's ministering at your altar and you just go and you put your hand up there and down they go. That's the Holy Spirit that's in you is hitting them and knocking them down. And what's even better is if all you do, well, okay, I'll just give you an example. One time, you know, we always had revival in here and God always did signs, wonders, and miracles. Five people sitting back there in the corner never ever experienced anything that we do before in their life. I said, you five get up here. I didn't know who they were. Why did I say that the Holy Spirit said that? And I said, just line up right there. And they did. Next thing you know, they're all on the floor. I'm still standing right here because I'm empowered with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can move throughout the congregation. Do you understand this? You know, if you have a leader that isn't empowered with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to see any kind of signs, wonders, and miracles going on in the church. These things should be occurring in your home. Why? Just because you are empowered with the Holy Spirit. A lot of people, they tell my kids, your grandmother scares me. And it isn't me that scares him. It's the Holy Spirit that I'm empowered with. Your little demons don't like that. And they want to get away from the power of God. That's what that's all about. It has nothing to do with me. Are you understanding this? Ever since I was born again in 1977, I've been empowered with the Holy Spirit. God just had me, he just anointed me. And ever since then, I've walked with signs, wonders, and miracles. And then for what, about 10 years now, God withdrew all that from the church, not from me, but from the church, because the church was taking the Holy Spirit for granted. And he'll do that. You still have the Holy Spirit, but the people around you are walking over the Holy Spirit, and God will not allow them to have anything to do with the Holy Spirit. You know, well, what God always said, I'm not going to let other people hang on your coattail. In other words, they still wanted to stay in sin, but they still wanted to have the effects of what happens when you touch the Holy Spirit. And God said, I'm not going to do that. That's why he took healing out of the church. And he told me the day he did it, and he says, and I'm going to keep it out until they learn their lesson. Because everybody was taking the Holy Spirit for granted. We need to understand that the Holy Spirit plays just as important part in heaven as Jesus and God and the angels do. The Holy Spirit was with God when he created the earth. Come on, it tells you the Spirit moved. And I know that I know some of you in here that have been coming here for quite some time, you don't quite understand that what you have to pay to carry the Holy Spirit in its power. And you think you can still sort of play around the edges and still have the power. You won't. It'll leave you just like it did Samson. You know. Where am I at, Nancy? When you are indwelled or empowered by the Holy Spirit, the following will be evident in your life. You will be controlled by the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is evident in your life. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are in operation. The power of boldness and witnessing will be there. If you're empowered by the Holy Spirit, these are the things that's going to be evident in your life. When a person becomes a Christian, that person is indwelled by the Holy Spirit, and therefore the Holy Spirit will always travel with him or her. The question is, who is driving? Because the driver is ultimately the one who controls the direction of the vehicle. Right? And when a Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit, he or she will allow the Holy Spirit to drive or be in control. It isn't what I want. It's what the Holy Spirit wants, and the Holy Spirit wants what God wants. You know, Jesus said he only did what the Father told him to do. The Holy Spirit only says what the Father tells him to say or do. And anymore, when I pray, I say, God, please tell the Holy Spirit to go do whatever it is. Because the Holy Spirit's not going to do it if the Father doesn't tell him to do it. According to the Word, what I've been reading in the Word. And I tell everybody, don't do anything unless you ask God first. Because you'll make a big mess of your life and then blame it on everybody but yourself. Right? Because the Holy Spirit knows all things. And he knows what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And so if you're going to do something, ask the Holy Spirit to lead, guide. Isn't that what the Word says? Jesus said the Holy Spirit would lead, guide, and direct us in the path that we should go. And ask the Holy Spirit, am I supposed to do this? Right? All right, the extent of the Holy Spirit's presence in a Christian does not change. Okay? But the degree of the Holy Spirit's control does change. Let's read that again. The extent of the Holy Spirit's presence in a Christian does not change, but the degree of the Holy Spirit's control does change. Because his control is dependent on the willingness of the Christian to surrender control at any particular time. Back to the peanut. When I was fasting, I was 40 days. And on the 40th day, I think it was the 40th day, wasn't it? I grabbed a peanut and ran up the steps. God said, where are you going? I said, I don't want anybody to see me eat the peanut. And he said, I do. The Holy Spirit's around you all the time. You can't hide from him. He sees everything you do. And then God said, you just ate your miracle that you was going to get. We're only kidding ourselves when we say, I walk by the Spirit. No, the Spirit was saying, don't eat that peanut. He really did. Don't eat that peanut. And I sat there by that peanut jar for quite a while before I finally grabbed it and ran up the steps. See, and the Holy Spirit wasn't going to take my hand and slap and say, don't pick that up. And because I didn't yield to what the Holy Spirit did, I just lost my blessing. Remember in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, my question to you tonight is, are you ready for the greater works?